Well, praise the Lord. Everyone should know by now we are one in Messiah congregation, right? I hope you do. Praise the Lord. And you probably wondered, does anyone ever wonder where I got one in Messiah? It's out of the book of Galatians. It says one in Christ. I just took the word Christ, which is the English, and used the word Messiah, which is closer to the Hebrew. Mashiach in Hebrew is Messiah. So it's not something I made up. It's right out of the Bible, really. It was supposed to be one in Christ, one in Messiah. And a lot of churches and a lot of ministers, they're still not having the concept of one. They want to have the Jews over there, and the churches over there, and everyone's over there, and all these denominations, they're all separate each other. It's very sad. Like this church that we're in today is not our church. We're just thankful we got a room. But this church don't know what that other church did. And the other church don't know what the other one did. They're not in the same body. You know, you understand what I mean? Like in the body, even though we have different functions, we're all in the same body. But if you think it over, there's 1,000 churches right around where we live here. They all don't even know what each other is doing. So it's a mystery to me. I don't know. Protestants are different than what I am. I'm not a Protestant, and I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not in Judaism. I'm just a Jew that's from the Bible, and that's all I am. I'm like the apostles. If you would have met me, I would have been one of the apostles, not apostle, I would have been one of the disciples, you know, just following the Lord. But anyway, that's our website right there, oneofmessiah.net, and there's our post office box, 254. A lot of people ask me all the time about offerings. We do take offerings, but it doesn't go to us. It goes to the church. Like yesterday and the other day, we sent out some tapes. We sent out Bibles. We send things out. It doesn't go to us. It doesn't support us. If anyone ever tithes, it's between you and the Lord. Whether it be a penny, a nickel, whatever, has no relevance to God, because the amount of money that you tithe means nothing to God, because He owns the whole universe. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up, because a lot of people always ask me, boy, you guys never think about tithing. I say, well, the house of God must go on. So if you want to tithe to the Lord, that's between you and God, because you're the one who gets a blessing. Anyway, today is the 27th, and today is Pentecost. Today is the Feast of Weeks, and it's very sad. Here I am in the Bible Belt, and we were driving around to look at the churches today. I don't know if you noticed any churches on the way here. No one's talking about Pentecost today. No one's talking about Pentecost today. That's ridiculous. Every minister right now should be talking about Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Ghost. And also back in the time of Moses, the giving of the law, the commandments. But no churches today are doing that. Something's wrong. So I don't understand it. And like, it says right here, this is the 27th today, and it's actually the 10th day of the month of Sivan, okay? This study up here is from yesterday, but I wanted to go over it a little bit more. There's the word Sivan right there, and it says, Chodesh HaShlishi Hu Chodesh Sivan, Sivan. That's what that says in Hebrew, Sivan, okay? And I just like reading Hebrew because it makes it, Hebrew might mean look like nothing to you, but once you get used to it, it starts looking, you could read it. But we're so interested, this is so exciting to me, this month, the third month of God, because the third month of God, unfortunately, in America, and I'm sure a lot around the world, this month doesn't have any feeling to anybody, but this is the month God spoke the Ten Commandments. This is the month the 70 elders and the 4 other men went up and they saw the God of Israel this month. I mean, that's like, except the only thing that separates us from them and us is time. If we were back then, you would have been standing by the mount, frightened, because God is coming down on the third day. He said, make sure you wash your clothes. We'll read that. Anyway, the Feast of the Lord. This is so important because we're trying to get in everyone's mind the Feast of the Lord. And, of course, we already counted the Omer. It's already the 50th day. Today is the 50th day, okay? And that's why we counted the Omer right there. Omer is the sheaf, the waving of the barley harvest. The reason why we read the book of Ruth yesterday, because we go from the barley harvest to the wheat harvest. And it's the first fruits. Also, the resurrection, 50 days from those points, is Feast of Weeks and Pentecost. The resurrection, when the Lord rose from the dead, he is the first fruits. That's what that's talking about. 50 days from the resurrection is today. You would think everybody would know this, but nobody talks about it. Everyone should have gave a message today on the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. But nobody knows their Bible. So they're talking about all kind of other stuff. Anyway, this is what we did already. Today's the 50th day. We already counted. We counted from tomorrow after the Sabbath. I know there's a lot of people that did the Pentecost last week, which is ridiculous. We count tomorrow after the Sabbath. We counted that. We counted 7 weeks, 7 Sabbaths, and then the last day is the 50th day. It, just like it says, even unto you the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. It says, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, today is what we've been thinking about these 7 weeks that, wow, we're coming to the mount. We're coming to meet God. Because 7 weeks ago, our ancestors were slaves in Egypt, fleeing from Pharaoh with that different kind of mentality, a different kind of way of looking at things. And they're fleeing, and some of them were believing God for a miracle. And of course, the Red Sea was split, right? And that's what they went from that point to 7 weeks later. Now God is trying to make them his people for real, and he's coming to see them. He's making himself manifest. And this is exactly what we're talking about. So right now we're in the third month. We're in the 10th day of the third month called Sivan, and it is Pentecost right now. Saturday was a Sabbath, and of course Sunday. Today is Yom Rishon. Today is also a Mikra Kodesh. That's why we're actually here today. Mikra Kodesh means a meeting when we get together. Okay, so if you rewind your Bible and you go back to the time of Exodus, of course it's the giving of this month. We don't know exactly what day. We're not going to say what day, but this is the month. The third month is when God gave the commandments. And it's also you fast forward into the time of the disciples, or I should go a little back to the time of Jesus. He said not to go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. The promise of the Father was going to come, and lo and behold, after he dies and rises, he said he had to go away, so the Comforter will come. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Jews that were keeping the Feast of Weeks. All the Jews, that's one of the three pilgrimage feasts. They're agricultural feasts. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the three feasts of the Lord. We're on the second one, the Feast of Weeks, and that's when all the males were in Jerusalem. And even though there was 500 people in the Gospels that were talking about, you know, hearing the Lord say, go wait for the Comforter, we find out there's only 120 in the book of Acts. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is given, and you read the chapter, 3,000 souls were added to the church. I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, now, there was no per se church. When I say church, I'm really talking about ecclesia. I should use that word. Ecclesia is the called out ones. The ones that know the feasts of the Lord, the ones that understand this. Because if you didn't understand the Feast of Weeks, you wouldn't be there. Because they didn't know that. They didn't know at that point that the prophecy of Joel was going to come to pass. Because Peter had to tell them, these men are not drunken as you suppose, being it's the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And they got the Holy Ghost came down and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It's not like when these people today called charismatic. They just start speaking in tongues anytime. That's not the way it works. It's when the Spirit, and it's a holy thing, and it's reverence. It's not like just a... Unfortunately, the Pentecostals made a game out of this. Pentecostal religion was created in 1899 by a lady in Kansas. Before that, there was no such thing. The Baptist church wasn't created in the book of Acts, okay? There's no Baptist back there, and there's no none of these Protestants. Protestants were all created after the 1500s, okay? But some people go to churches where they tell people that their church, the Church of Christ, was created back there. That's a lie. That's not true. No, these were Jews, and it was all Jews. Anyway, this is what happened in the book of Acts, which comes from the book of Joel, which comes from Exodus, okay? Well, I did want to go, before I get into a little more detail about the feasts, this is the couple of articles that were in the paper last week I thought was worthy to, they were newsworthy. I thought it would be interesting for you to hear. This is from the Israel Today website. They found the Ark of the Covenant Church. They did some archaeological excavations, and they found a church bearing the name, you know, it's the Ark of the Covenant Church, okay? And here's what it says. An excavation team had uncovered one of the oldest churches in the world, dating back to the late 4th century. It was like, I think it was 380 or something like that. Okay, it says where it is believed that the Ark of the Covenant once stood in biblical times. The team led by Yitzhak Megan and Yevgeny Aronovich unearthed the church not far from the Jewish settlement in Shiloh in Samaria. The floor of the worship sanctuary is decorated with brightly colored mosaics, and many of the inscriptions refer to Yeshua. Think of that. They found that they actually uncovered a church that bears the name Yeshua. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. I suspect underneath the ruins, we went to Israel, this whole place is full of, everything's ruins. So it's layers and layers and layers upon civilizations. And way down is when Jesus was, and sometimes they'll find some inscriptions with the name of Jesus, Yeshua, of course. That church was supposedly built in 380 and maybe was destroyed by a flood. Nobody knows really that. But anyway, if you go up, I'll read the inscription. This Aronovich, he said one of the inscriptions, particularly, it's unusually mentioned, it mentions the name Shiloh, which is important. Shiloh is another name for the Messiah. And it said, here's what the inscription said, Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, Adon Yeshua HaMashiach, have mercy on Shiloh and its inhabitants. Amen. That's what it said. This is rare and indicates that early Christians, they reverenced this place. You know, they were there, and that's where they probably got together and worshiped. So it's interesting to see that. The name, anytime I find Israel websites, especially on Israel websites, the name Yeshua, that's very, I want to capture it. It's very important, huh?
They prayed to Jesus.
Yes, these people prayed to the Lord. They prayed to Jesus, Yeshua, because he's the one that is the Savior. He is the Moshiach. He is the Savior. Praise the Lord. There's no other Savior. He's the one that heals, the one that delivers, the one that does everything. Anyway, this is another article I want to let you know that it's in Israel Today. You can go on my website and copy this if you want to read it slower. There was a rabbi, one of the nation's most prominent rabbis. His name is Yitzhak Kadori. He wrote the name of the Messiah on a small note, which he requested would remain sealed until now. When the note was unsealed, it revealed what many have known for centuries. It said either Yehoshua or Yeshua, which is Jesus, is the Messiah. Just think of that, a rabbi who's very prominent in Israel, in Judaism. He had a vision, but he only wrote it on a piece of paper, and he wrote it where no one would see it until a year after he died. And this is what it said. It said that the biblical name of Yeshua, the rabbi and the Kabbalist described that Jesus using six words and hinting that the initial letters from the name of the Messiah. The secret note said concerning the letter abbreviation of Messiah's name, he will lift the people and prove that his word and his law are valid. Amen. And then he signed it. This rabbi signed it in the month of mercy, he calls it. His name is Yitzhak Kadori. And this Hebrew sentence translated above in bold with the hidden name of Messiah reads, and that's what it reads in the transliteration. You could read that yourself if you could. The initials spell the name of Yeshua or Yehoshua or Yeshua. And it's the same name derived from the Hebrew root of the word salvation. Salvation is Yeshua or Yeshua. And as he, as documented in Zechariah 6:11 and Ezra 3:2, the priest writes in Ezra, if you, I read the Hebrew, so it's very interesting to me. It says, Yeshua ben Yotzadak, right? He's calling this priest Yeshua ben Yotzadak, which has a very significant meaning to me, because that looks like it means to me, Jesus, the son of the righteous. All right. But anyway, that's another way of looking at it to me. And in the book of Zechariah, instead of using the same name for the same priest, this is the same priest, it's worded different. It's called Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. In other words, the letters H-O were added extra in this passage, even though they're talking about the same person, the same priest. So the priest adds the holy abbreviation, Ho, in the Father's name, Yotzadak, in the name Yeshua, with one of Israel's most prominent rabbis indicating the name of the Messiah is Yeshua. It is understandable why his last wish was to wait 1 year after his death before revealing what he wrote. And of course, you know, this note, of course, the name of Yehoshua appears on Kadori's message, the ultra-Orthodox Jews from his Nahalat Yitzhak Yeshiva, which is a seminary in Jerusalem, argued that the master did not leave the exact solution for decoding the Messiah's name. The revelation received scant, it only was received scant coverage in Israel's media. Only the Hebrew websites, these are the websites, you could look them up yourself, they even made mention of such a thing. In other words, every time the name Yeshua is really found, or God gives someone a revelation of Yeshua, and somebody reveals it, nobody wants to report it in Israel, because they don't want you to believe Yeshua is the Messiah, that's why. But he is, so praise the Lord. I think that's, don't you think that's newsworthy to hear?
Yeah,
I think that's really important to understand. Anyway. So anyway, we believe it's authentic, and we believe God always leaves, he leaves his trail in the sand of time, and everyone always uncovers little bits and pieces where we can see a little more clearly, even though we see through a dark glass, we get a glimpse of the eternal power of God. You know, this third month, I'm trying to pump it into myself and everyone else, the third month of God, even though we call this in the Gregorian count, it's May, it's really Sivan, but it's a very special month that happened and will never happen again. What I'm trying to say is, this month is Sivan. Next slide, please. In the third month, what I did was I took all these words right here from verses in the Bible. And if you could try to put yourself in the mode of this, it might mean a little more, but this month, if you were there at the Mount, the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai in fire. Now, I mean, I could read that to you. I try to visualize myself being there. It's very, you know, it's hard to do that to me. The Lord called unto Moses out of the Mount. Could you imagine that? Imagine the Lord calling you out of the Mount. How about God answered Moses or you by a voice? God spake all the commandments, the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, you get one, you get three. He said, no, there's Ten Commandments for everybody. Nobody likes nobody does them anymore, but that's what he said. The Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, listen to this, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And these people are totally different than most any people of the earth. These people actually heard, all of them collectively heard the voice of God. I mean, that's like, wow. I mean, that blows me, you know, that's shocking to me. Then went up Moses. This is really exciting. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, that's four, and 70 of the elders of God, of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. They saw the God of Israel. and they saw God. Now, we know that you can't see God and live. So that means to me they saw the word of the Lord. They saw the, however you want to say it, Yeshua. They saw the Messiah. They saw God. You can't see God the Father, because no one's seen him except the backside, we believe. But as far as seeing him, the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. When I read that, it's just like, it has nothing to do with anything we can experience in America. I mean, this is so removed from us, but we try to bring ourselves back spiritually and put ourselves there, because this is so remarkable to me. It's just amazing. We're going to talk a little bit about the plurality of God. Does everybody know what plurality means? It means more than one, you know. Okay. In Exodus 19, so this is a good time if you're reading the Bible, and I don't see why all the churches aren't doing this. In the third month, which is the children of Israel gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they in the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, I mean, this is the Lord calling him out of the mountain, and he's saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. This is God actually talking. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Because God says, all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I am come unto you, unto thee, in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. The people are going to hear when I speak with you. Could you imagine that? I'd be so scared. I'd be frightened. It says, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words unto the people, told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. See, God doesn't even want, he wants you to be pure inside and also outside. Some people come to congregation, you know, they got to make sure you're clean, in and out. Better wash those clothes, because God's coming. And be ready against the third day. You know, the third day is very important. The third day is when the Lord rose from the dead. The third day is very important. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. He's coming down in the sight of all the people. And thou shalt set bounds. And we're talking about the God of the universe. Could you believe that? I mean, think about that for a second. He created the whole universe, but yet he's going to come down upon something he made. Oh, that's so beyond my thoughts. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the border shall be surely put to death. They couldn't come near the mount, right? There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live. When the trumpets sound it long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. I was thinking about that yesterday. Remember I was telling you? They must have been so nervous. I would be washing my clothes so much. You know those washboard? They didn't have washing machines, you know. They have those washboards. You'd be like, whoa, wash your clothes. The Lord's coming. That's all I could think of when I read that. I mean, you wouldn't be going, you know, let's just go wash the clothes. It wouldn't be casual. You'd be very frightened. Praise the Lord. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. See, people today don't tremble about God. God is a consuming fire. If you really knew who you were dealing with, you would tremble. Moses said he feared God so much he quaked. You know, very important. Most people today turn God into their teddy bear or their daddy or their some kind of... God is very powerful. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. How's like that? I want you to come with me right now. We're going to meet God. Well, you'd be frightened. I would. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And listen to this. The Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. Mount Sinai was on a smoke. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount, even the mount, quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded louder, long, and waxed louder and louder. See the trumpet? The trumpet. Always remember the word trumpet. When it sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. Listen to this. And God, I mean, we're talking God, answered him by a voice. I mean, that's like, you know, I know like this God answered him by a voice. Nowadays, with all these people saying God talked to them, very casually they tell you, yeah, well, God talked to me. Well, believe me, if God answered, if they really heard the voice of God, they would probably just melt. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. That is so unbelievable to me, because we're talking about God who has the whole universe in his hand, yet he made himself available to come down into a creation. And he came down upon the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now, I want you to watch. This is very important. Please listen to this. The plurality of God. Some people yesterday didn't get it, but I want to reiterate this. The Lord said unto Moses, now the Lord is talking, right? Everybody got that? Who's talking? The Lord's talking, okay? He said, go down unto the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. The Lord's talking, saying, you follow what I'm saying? And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Do you see how like one is talking about the other? That's a plurality. And to prove that, we'll go to the next verse to make it really clear. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, with thee. And let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Do you see how one, it looks like two, God's talking, but he's talking about him. Does everybody see that? That's called plurality. There's only one God, but this is obviously the word of the Lord, which is the Messiah in the future and Jesus in the future. But it's the word of the Lord is from everlasting. The word of the Lord is God. He's talking about lest he break through. Don't you find that? That's very amazing. And Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And God, now this is really important. Here we have God, who I believe is the word of the Lord, Messiah, and if you want to say in the future, Jesus. Jesus wasn't born yet, because that was thousands of years later, but at the same time, he was there. That sounds like a contradiction, I know, but he said he's from everlasting. Anyway, listen to this. God actually, he spoke the commandments. He said he spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. How many gods are you supposed to have before God? None. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have little angels in your house and little thing. You're not supposed to make any image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. You know why? Because if you have little angels in your house, before you know it, you'll be talking to them. Sooner or later, you're not supposed to do that. It says, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Could you imagine God of the universe being jealous? You know how you get a little jealous once in a while? Imagine God. Imagine what jealous really means. Talk about amplifying that a gazillion billion times. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's who he visits, the ones that hate him. But he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and what? Keep his commandments. And the reason why that's so important, because nowadays the church people say, Jesus kept the commandments for me. I don't have to keep the commandments. The commandments are gone. Over here it says, he shows mercy unto who? The ones that love him and keep his commandments. So their gospel is false. Okay, commandment 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Most people are praying and they're using God's name. It's sort of vain, because they're not keeping his commandments. It's like in vain do they... Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain they worship me. Jesus said that. He says he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Praise the Lord. Next. Okay, commandment 4. Now you got to remember, God is... picture like everyone's at the mount, right? And God is like, this. The trumpet's blasting. Everyone's probably like frightened. And God is speaking the commandments. He didn't say, you get one commandment, you get two, you get six, you get seven. No, he said, here's the commandments for everybody. This is the one, God had to say, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Oh. How many people remember the Sabbath that you know? You know anybody that keeps the Sabbath? Besides your father? Do you know anybody that keeps the Sabbath? Nobody remembers it. Do you know anybody that keeps the Sabbath in your world? A couple of people? Good. How about you? A couple? Okay. But the majority of people that you do know, did they remember to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy? 6 days you're supposed to labor. You got actually 6 days to go... labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And I always like to say this. You know when John was in the Isle of Patmos, it says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? It says right there, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Yes. In it thou shalt do no work. Thou, you, or your son, or your daughter, or if you have any men servants or maid servants, or any of your cattle, or even if you have a stranger that's in your gates. Let's say you have somebody that comes and visits you today on the Sabbath. Today's the Sabbath. Anyone who comes to visit you today, everyone's got to keep the Sabbath, whether they like it or not. Otherwise, just tell them to go home, and I'll see you next week. Now, you can't worry about hurting their feelings. You better worry about hurting God's feelings. Anyone who comes to your house today, you say very nicely. You say, today's a Pentecost. Today's a Mikra Kodesh. It's a Sabbath. Everyone in my house has to keep the Sabbath. If you don't, just go somewhere else for the rest of the day. I'll see you tomorrow. I mean, if you don't want to obey God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. The number seven is very important. Very important. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I mean, for some reason, God makes this commandment very big. You know when you read the Ten Commandments? This has most content. The idols and the Sabbath have the most content in the commandments. If you ever do a study about the commandments in the Bible, if you make a note to look at the commandments through the whole Bible, you'll find the most talked about of the commandments is idols and the Sabbath. Those are the most talked about. So anyway, God blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Okay, that was commandment four, which nobody remembered. The only reason he's saying remember it, because they were doing it from Genesis. God blessed the seventh day, remember? Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 2. Everyone was keeping the Sabbath because it's a commandment. Even the ark rested on the seventh day. Remember Noah's ark? The ark rested on the seventh day. Everything rested. 7 days is really important because, see, in the future, in someone's future, I don't know whose, the trumpet is going to sound again. It's going to be blasting again. That's why we rehearse the Feast of Tabernacles, because in the seventh month, the trumpet's going to blast again. The number seventh month, the trumpet's going to blast. And we rehearse this because at the last trump, the Lord's going to come back, just like he came here at the sound of the trumpet. You follow what I'm talking about? That's why it's called, the feast is called Zichron Yom Teruah. It's called the remembrance of the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar blast. That's why it's a remembrance. What are we remembering? Why do we do it every year? The church people don't do it every year, but we do. Anyway, there's so much in this. We'll talk about it a little more later in depth. I get excited. I hope everybody on Pow Talk is still there. Okay. Now here's a commandment. Commandment five. Honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So if you honor your mother and father, you honor them by bringing them the word of God if they don't know it. You honor them by helping them walk the path of the Lord. You honor them by, if they're people of God, you honor them by doing what they say. You know, it all depends who's keeping the commandments. You don't honor them if they're a bunch of drunks. You honor them by saying, hey, you can't do that. You don't honor them if they're worshiping the Zodiac or, whatever. Anyway, that's commandment five. So everyone got that? Everybody in the camp? Yeah. There's a million of them. Just think, there's a million of them. But the guy in the way in the back heard the Lord's voice too. He didn't miss nothing. Could you imagine a whole bunch of people just shaking? And they weren't dancing. I bet you they were so scared. Here's a small one right here. This is so small, verse 6, but it has such a big meaning. Thou shalt not kill means murder. You're not supposed to murder anybody, because when you murder one person, you're murdering really all their offspring and everyone else that would ever come. You're murdering a whole, who knows how many people you just murdered, even though you think you murdered one. Same thing with spiritually. If you murder people with false doctrine, or murder them with, you kill them. If you hate your brother or sister, you're not just hating them. You think you are, but you're hating everyone that's going to come after them if the Lord tarries. Because they'll all believe their parents, and everyone hates you. So you don't murder. Jesus says murder, okay? Yeshua. That's commandment six, right? Oh, thou shalt not commit adultery. Wow, the church people don't know that. Adultery is pretty big in the churches. It's a pretty big sin they break. They're all committing adultery. Pastors are running away with ladies, and ladies are running away with men. And sometimes men are running away with men, unfortunately, and ladies are running away with ladies. But there's also a spiritual adultery. Don't worship any other god. Don't let anyone try to entice you to go worship another god. Very important. Here's something that it sounds so simple. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, doesn't that sound simple? But that means so much. You could steal somebody's soul by poisoning them with some rotten doctrine. You could, if you steal a toothpick or if you steal Fort Knox, you're still a thief in God's mind. No thief. No thief. Doesn't matter what you rob. Nowadays, it's very tricky. People robbing MP3s on the internet. They're robbing software. They don't even think about they're robbing software. They're robbing this and that and everything else. No thief. That means no Christian thief, no weasel thief, no skinny thief, no chubby thief, no tall thief, no purple thief, no black thief, no white. You know what I mean? Like, don't steal. Don't steal the word of God out of people's heart. That's what I think of that a lot. When I hear people with false doctrines, that they sway people into their doctrines, they're actually thieves. They're robbing the word right out of people's hearts. Oh. Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You're not supposed to bear false witness against your neighbor, something that's false. That's very important. A lot of people do that for money. They take bribes. Slip me a few bucks and I'll witness a false report. Don't do that. Commandment 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Oh man, I wish I had that house over there. No, don't covet your neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You can't say, oh, I wish, I'm gonna, what's that wife doing? Or vice versa, you're not supposed to go covet somebody else's husband. Nor his menservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything, anything that's your neighbor's. You're not supposed to covet anything that's your neighbor's. Plus, the Bible says to be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. That's commandment 10. See the 10 commandments? There they are. Atzeret HaDevarim in Hebrew. It's the word of God. 10 commandments. They were for everybody. It wasn't for like just a few people, like you're in a different place. It was for everybody. And all the people, that they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed, stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak not thou with us. They want Moses to speak with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. That's how scared they were. I mean, today, nowadays, I got to be honest with you. I know some guy that told me one day, he goes, I had hundreds of visions of the Lord. Some other man said, some guy told me that, an angel or Jesus broke down the whole book of Revelations to me. You want to know? Look, if God really showed up to you, you'd be so scared. Your teeth would be, your teeth would be, chattering. I'm not kidding. God is not what everyone has made him into. They made God just talked to me last night. Guess who showed up? You know, God isn't like that. Guess who showed up? God is a holy God. Believe me, if he comes and tells you something, you're really going to know. Watch that wire. Okay. Oh, yes. This is very interesting. I brought out yesterday. You know how like thunder happens out there? We usually see the lightning, right? They saw the thunder. They saw the thunderings. That's what it says. I didn't write that. The people saw the thunderings and the lightnings. I mean, that's supernatural, isn't it? There's a reason for that. The thunderings of God and the mountain smoking. Could you picture how scary that was? And when the people saw it, what'd they do? Say, I'm just going to sit here. No. They removed and they stood afar off. They were scared. And they said unto Moses, they wanted Moses to talk to them and not God, lest they die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. God is telling you these commandments to prove you. You know why? He wants to know that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. In other words, if you really understand who God is, you're not going to be so easily wanting to sin, because it's a fearful thing. Oh, I'm going to meet the creator of the universe? Oh, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness. When his God in the thick darkness, where God was. God was in the thick darkness. Think of that. A lot of people always think God is in the light, you know. He's in the thick darkness. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen. Just think, all those people have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. They actually saw it. Now, do you follow what I'm saying? These are the people that they saw this and they were all slaughtered in the wilderness because of unbelief. The only ones that made it into the promised land was Caleb and Joshua and the children that didn't know between good and evil. Everyone else got slaughtered because of unbelief. They saw this. Some of these people might have died ahead of time, maybe, and maybe went on to be with the Lord. I don't know that. But I'm saying a lot of them were still around. God says, you shall not make me golds of silver.
God.
Excuse me. You shall not make me gods of silver. This is interesting to think of. Think of these two things. You shall not make, God is saying, make me gods of silver, and you shall not make you gods of gold. Did you hear that? God is saying, don't make me gods of silver, and don't make you gods of gold. Yeah, things that people, they price very precious in this world. But God owns everything. It says in Psalms, he owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And I always add, he owns the hills too. And the altar of the earth thou shalt make unto me. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon by thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all the places where I shall record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Whew. Praise the Lord. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. God doesn't want anything of man to be attached to anything. Neither shalt thou go up by steps. You know when you go up by steps? That thy nakedness may not be discovered thereon. He doesn't want anyone to see your nakedness when you're going up to worship God. In other words, always be conscious of what you look like, because you might make other people sin. Because the people that are going up to, you don't even know what you're doing. You're going up, you're not supposed to go up by steps, but the other people are watching you, and knows when the devil puts the thoughts in their minds. So you got to be real careful. Anyway. So anyway, that was Exodus 19 and 20. God gave the commandments. Now, everyone should know this to pass on to your friends, because most Christians don't know where the Ten Commandments are. Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. You can go ask 10 Christians where the Ten Commandments are. Most of them won't know, because they don't even know the Ten Commandments, because the church has told them it's done away. You don't have to keep them. Jesus kept them for you. Forget about the fourth commandment. That's legalistic. That's a lie. There's 10 commandments. Do not fall for the Catholic Church. Okay. Anyway, now, remember Zechariah and Elizabeth? Remember them? The parents of John the Baptist? They were blameless in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. And, of course, here's the judgments. If you ever want to know the judgments, they're in Exodus chapter 21. Okay? I just want to make sure you read. And then when you read chapter 22, chapter 23, it's all the judgments of God. So you read all those, right? And then we get to chapter 24 of Exodus, which is really exciting. And it says, here's chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, God, this is God talking again. God does a lot of talking. Even though Judaism says God is not anthropomorphic. In other words, he doesn't have a mouth and he doesn't have ears. He's not like us. That's a lie. Judaism is wrong. Maimonides is a liar. And God is anthropomorphic. Don't listen to sages of Judaism. They're in la-la land. Follow the word of God. People quote the rabbis all the time. There is no rabbis in the Tanakh. They elected themselves. No one's your master except the Messiah. Quote the prophets. That's who I quote. You don't hear me quoting anybody. You know who my church fathers are? The prophets. The apostles. Those are my church fathers. I don't follow Jerome or Augustine or Origen. I don't follow them and all the rest of them. They twisted everything. They twisted the Word of God, where everybody's so mixed up today. There's 50,000 Jesuses. Which one should you believe? You know, I was thinking this morning, I thought it was interesting. Even in Islam, Islam was created like, 700 years after the New Testament or something like that. Even Islam mentions Jesus in it. Even they make mention of Jesus, which is sort of weird. But I'm saying there was a Jesus, Yeshua. He's found on different excavations, different archaeological discoveries. His name, items bear his name, but Israel doesn't want you to know that. Israel. Anyway, here those people are again. Oh, could you imagine being one of them? Could you imagine if it said, and there's Anne and Paul and Corey and Carrie and 70 of the elders, and they all just went up. It says they worshiped afar off. Listen to that. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they worshiped afar off. And Moses alone shall come near unto the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. You know how some people think I talk a lot? That's chapters of judgments. That must have been there for a long time. I doubt anyone was falling asleep, especially because God is right there, and the whole place is on a smoke, and the last thing you'd be doing is sleeping. You'd probably be so attentive, you would be stiff. You wouldn't want to even make a move, I bet. You ever been when you're so stiff that you just want to listen? That's how those people must have been. There was nobody just like nonchalant, what's next? There was nothing like, it's ridiculous. But all the people answered with one voice and said all the words which the Lord had said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Moses, could you imagine Moses writing all the words of the Lord? You know why I bet he did that? He probably didn't want to make a mistake. Let me write that down. He wrote all the words of the Lord. He didn't want to forget anything. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning, and he built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses did that. What tribe was Moses from?
Levi,
yes, okay. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings and oxen unto the Lord. So he sent young men of the children of Israel, young men. It's pretty good. It'd be like you, right? And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. This is everything he wrote. That was the covenant. The covenant is what he wrote. All those judgments, the commandments. He took the book of the covenant, he read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. I bet they said that. You know they said that. Could you imagine somebody there saying, I don't think I want to do that. I doubt there wasn't anybody that ever said that at that point when God is right in front of your face. Could you imagine somebody saying, well, I don't think I want to do that. Can you? I doubt that. No, these people, it says, everything that God, the Lord says we will do, and they were obedient. And Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it upon the people. I don't know how far it went, because there's a lot of people. But he sprinkled it up. Whoever was up front, they got it. He sprinkled it upon the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. See, it's the blood of the covenant. See, the old covenant, the Old Testament, there it is right there. It's the blood of the covenant. That's the blood of the covenant, all those judgments and those commandments. That's the old covenant. And it isn't a bunch of books in the Bible. That's it right there.
They said yes, and they sealed it with blood.
Jesus said in the future, he said, this night is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. That's the new covenant. Now it's new. It's going to be written in your hearts, we hope. But it's not that new, because it was from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. So it's the new covenant. But that's another whole story. And he says, Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. And then after that, then there they go. Let's see who's on Pow Talk. Anybody there? Let's see. Let's see. If the Lord says, get Gallant Singer and Remnant, and let's get Walking in L.A., and let's go up unto the mountain. Let's go up unto the Lord. And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. What? There he is, the Messiah, the word of the Lord, Yeshua. It says, Yeru et Elohei, Yisrael. They saw, that means they saw the God of Israel. But you see that word Elohei? This is really important. Could you put the little thing over there so they see it? See that little, that says Elohei. That's very unique. You know why? It doesn't say Yeru et El, Yeru et El, Yisrael. It says Yeru et Elohei, Israel. That means they saw the gods of Israel. What? Moses went up, and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and they saw the God of Israel. I want to show you what this means. Go. And there was under his feet. Now look at this. They saw the God of Israel. What does this mean? They saw under his feet as it was. He has feet. He's anthropomorphic. Right. Under his feet. We're made in the image of God. We have feet, don't we? They saw under his feet as it were paved work of a sapphire stone. Listen to this. And it, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness under his feet. And when upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Listen to this. Also, they saw God. Yahazu et ha-Elohim. That means saw too. But this is so important because that Elohim is also plural. Elohei, the word Elohei, I don't know if you know grammar in Hebrew. It's called a noun, common, masculine, plural, construct. Elohim is also plural. They saw the gods of Israel. But there's only one God. But when you see God, the plurality probably just blasts through you and you can hardly digest it. Because God can be everywhere and talk to everyone with a different conversation. But there's only one God. Think of that, 6.5 billion people. He could show up 6.5 billion ways right now and talk to everyone about something different. 6.5 billion different conversations, but there's only one God. These guys, they saw God and they did eat and drink. Oh man, I'd be so scared. I'd be like, I'd be so nervous. I think about the, do you ever think of the reality of this? I mean, think about this. When we know when Moses is sprinkling the blood and upon the people, like, you know, you mind this thing, you know, you think of a couple of people. There's like a million people. There's like a gazillion people. I mean, there's like, this isn't like this 1, 2, 5 people. Yeah, there's like lots of people there. I mean, this is all happening before a lot of witnesses. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I'll give thee tables of stone. He's making sure he puts it in stone. When you put something in, that's why that's saying in the world, let's put it in stone. Yes. And be there, and I'll give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written. So Moses wrote them, and so did he. God wrote them. And thou shalt teach, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses went up, and his minister and Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. and the glory of the Lord, the kavod, kavod ha-Elohim, the glory of the Lord, abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the cloud, listen to this, covered it 6 days. You know, it feels like that too. It feels like maybe 6,000 years God is hidden. But on the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied that the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. This number seven is important. I believe personally that we're very close to reaching close to 6,000 years myself. I don't believe these scientists, something's 50,000 billion years old and all that kind of stuff. That's a lie. Because I know once something reaches six is, and after six is the seventh, that something's going to take place. Because God has them wait many times to 6 days, and then boom, seventh day, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. It says that in Hebrews. It says, our God is a consuming fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. God's a consuming fire. Whew. Just think, he was in that burning bush, except the bush didn't burn away. You ever think of that? The bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. That's pretty supernatural. And the Lord went into the midst of the cloud. I mean, Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up in the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, boy. And you got to remember, they were in the third month. So if you're there 40 days and 40 nights, it's going to bring you to the fourth month. The fourth month, for some reason, has no name in the Bible. Judaism makes up a name called Tammuz, which is a false, it's even named after a false god. And they might even been there a little bit in the fifth month, which has also no name. There's no name for those in the Bible. But we also know there's a name Elul, which might be the sixth month. I just added that at the end because I'm not really sure of that. There is something's named Elul. But anyway, this third month and this Pentecost, with God coming down and giving the commandments, and then we're going to read later in the book of Acts that also this month it is the Feast of Weeks right now, and it is the giving of the Holy Spirit, which is very important, which was told by Jesus, Yeshua himself, not to go anywhere, to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't even go anywhere. Stay there in Jerusalem until the Comforter comes to you, which was also prophesied in the book of Joel, that God would pour out his Spirit in the last days. And it's the last days. So time is running out. The Messiah is coming. Do you hear the sound of the trumpet yet? Get ready. Praise the Lord. I just thank God we could be here. And I say, Chag Sameach, happy holiday, happy Feast of Weeks, happy Pentecost. And thank you for being here. And I'll just end here. God bless you. And if you have any questions or comments, or there's many things to talk about, but I mean, I only touched on a few.